Support for today's show comes from Square, the platform behind so many of the local businesses we all love. Whenever I go to my favorite sports bar, I'm enjoying the energy, I'm enjoying the game, and it moves lightning fast because I use Square. I just tap my phone, grab my wings, and even earn loyalty points without missing a single play. It's just so seamlessly put together. But Square is way more than just a slick register. It's an all-in-one system that lets business owners take payments, manage inventory, handle staff payroll, and track sales from one easy dashboard. Whether you run a bustling sports bar, a bike shop, or a boutique, Square simplifies the daily grind without requiring an IT team or hidden fees. Plus, sellers using Square checking save an average of 44 hours a month thanks to instant payouts. If you're starting a business or running one that deserves better tools, Square helps you sell, manage, and grow without slowing down. Right now, you can get up to $200 off Square Hardware at square.com/go/FFT. That's SQUARE.com/GO/FFT. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today.
As a young adult, finding the right path to your future can feel overwhelming. It starts with YearUp United's tuition-free job training program, Career Pathways. If you're without a bachelor's degree, but have a high school diploma or GED, you can get skills-first training to succeed in the industries you're passionate about, all while earning a weekly educational stipend to offset basic expenses. From there, you'll have access to internships and hands-on experiences with Fortune 500 companies. And with YearUp United's job placement services and personalized coaching and mentorship, you can put your knowledge, skills, and most importantly, confidence into practice. Apply to YearUp United today and take the first step toward achieving the career you want. Visit yearup.org to learn more.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
It's just going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It's mailbag time. What's up, everybody? Oh, I just like scratched my throat with that one. Terrible start to the mailbag. It is Friday, August 7th. You might be listening on Saturday, August 8th. Hope everybody's having an awesome day. We've got two awesome guests for you on this mailbag, and one of them is not Dan Schneier. One of them is a former St. Jude patient named Nick, who we're going to talk to in about a half an hour. And the other is fantasy football genius Oracle legend, John Daigle of Establish the Run. John, welcome to the show. What's up?
Not an approved title, but I do appreciate the introduction.
Yes, Dave wanted me to introduce him that way. And Dave Richard is here. Dave, welcome to the mailbag.
It's great to be here. John, you have no idea what you've gotten into. The mailbag episodes on Fantasy Football Today are usually filled with non sequiturs, arguments, very, very weird, tedious, rabbit hole type conversations. Yeah. You may not talk fantasy the entire time you're here. You may regret being here. I already regret being here, but it's an interesting time nonetheless. Welcome to the show.
And to be fair, I do prefer shows where we disagree at times, since a lot of fantasy pods you hear, they all just nod their heads because everyone's giving the same opinion. So please, if any of us say something that the other disagrees with, let's hear it. Speak up.
Yeah. Oh, that's no problem. It's the fighting that goes on after it, and it's never about fantasy. It's about whether or not you should have a toothpick in your sandwich.
Well, listen, Dave, I was just watching a podcast that John was on recently with J.J. Zachariasen, and he asked him if you could replace your hand or one of your fingers with a kitchen utensil. It was a hand or a finger?
He asked if you could replace your hand with a kitchen utensil, if you had to, the rest of your life, what would it be? And I think I was overcomplicating it, yeah. But my eventual answer was a fork, because I feel like I could use a fork as a pseudo hand, but I could be wrong there.
Yeah.
Plus, like if you got into a fight, that's a pretty good weapon to have. My first thought was an extra wide spatula, and you would have so much fun slapping the hell out of people. You just go around. Like it would be a great time for you. And if you ever encountered a grill, I mean, you're flipping burgers, pancakes. Yeah. I mean, that's not nothing.
Yeah. All right. Well, John is one of our FFT Open League managers. So if you want a spot in his league, you can still get in and go to tinyurl.com/FFT Donate 2026 or just search for like FFT 2026 Draftathon on Google or wherever, or Bing, and it'll come up. But tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. Get in a fantasy league with John. Win the FFT Open if you want. And all of it goes to St. Jude. Okay, let's start the show with John. Give me one player you love this season. Then we're going to do some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And we're going to do your draftathon questions, which you paid for on that website I just gave, that URL I just gave. You paid to have your question read on the mailbag show, so you're going to get that. But who's one player you love this year, John?
I'm going back to a lot of offenses this year, but the Chargers are one of them. And that leads me to draft Ladd McConkey around the second, third round turn, and that tier of wide receivers that I'm sure everyone, even on this show, has been debating all offseason. I think we forget that Mike McDaniel already elevated a limited player like Tua Tagovailoa to NFL highs in touchdown rate and yards per attempt as the ninth overall MVP candidate in 2022. He led the league, Tua did, in passing yards in 2023, and then led the league again in completion rate in 2024. Now McDaniel gets to work with Justin Herbert, who actually finished already as the QB2 in points per game behind Josh Allen. He's already showed us he can rival in leading that position in fantasy points. So now we can just go right back to Ladd McConkey, who I understand is coming off a disappointing career low, 11.3 points per game. But the same reason everyone wanted to draft him in the second round last year after failing is kind of the reason we're chasing him in a much better offense this season. McDaniel's Dolphins actually led the league in their rate of dropbacks that included motion the last 4 years when he coached Miami. And for motion, Ladd McConkey has averaged a 23% target share for his career. So it's just a player that I think is a discounted wide receiver one, despite being drafted with the wide receiver twos and threes of the world.
Oh, I love it. You know, this because we were just talking about this earlier this morning. I want to be there with Ladd McConkey. Actually, his ADP is going at the 4-5 turn, but if you're picking at the 3-4 turn, you can't wait. So you got to take him there. And that was a guy that I'm excited about, and I think Dave is as well. So love that stat. Love the stat about the motion. Yeah, they're going to use him creatively, and I think we're on the same page. Some news and notes. No timetable for Alec Pierce's return, but Dave told you earlier on Friday morning that it sounds like he's going to be back sooner rather than later.
Right, but the timetable news came out after I said, after I heard that information. So it's probably best that we just assume that it's at least 2 weeks before Alec Pierce is back.
Jahmyr Gibbs. John, you like Alec Pierce or Josh Downs better?
Josh Downs. We know there is an unwritten law to practically avoid, or at the very least dip, push down the injured players going into the regular season and redraft, because that also includes a ramp-up time that we can't use them. And so Alec Pierce is just someone I'm not going to have a lot of going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, it can be... I do like being cautious with those guys. I think a couple years ago, Jahmyr Gibbs had like two soft tissue injuries before the season, if I'm not mistaken. There are definitely some examples. Oh, Devon Achane. Devon Achane, we were worried about him being ready for week one.
Yep.
So it just, you're not wrong. I mean, it's definitely like something that I've started to do over the last few years is being more cautious with these injured guys. And he's been out for a while. He had ankle surgery in March, I think. So it's a different situation.
It's also a Colts offense I'm somewhat worried about. Mm-hmm. Last year, everyone cites when they're at full strength with Daniel Jones in the first half of the season. They led the league in EPA per play as the most efficient offense in the league in the first half of the year. But that total, that EPA per play they had, was the best of any offense since Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs in 2018. Wow. And if we zoom out and let's just look at the resume of Daniel Jones' career, it's not Patrick Mahomes. It's still a Daniel Jones-led offense. And so what do they become? Are they closer to that offense that they were in the second half of the year where they were 21st in EPA per play, and Jonathan Taylor, even with that, I believe it was a 49-point burger, 240 yards, three touchdowns, even with that mixed in the second half, he was the RB10 in points per game. Like, are they closer to that offense? Because if so, then we're naturally just like dragging everyone down in ADP.
Mm-hmm. I'm very impressed with your ability to memorize and recite statistics. I really struggle with that. You have got it nailed.
Don't bring me to quiz night, though, because when it comes to history and geography, nothing sticks up here. But if I look at a stat once for whatever reason, that's what the brain operates on.
Good. Well, Jahmyr Gibbs can look at his contract and probably memorize it. It's pretty good. He's now just barely the highest paid running back in football ahead of Bijan Robinson, but we don't have to worry about Gibbs and Robinson. They are signed early. They are in camp. Jalen McMillan has a knee injury. Tristan Wirfs, the left tackle for the Bucs, he has a hamstring injury, but he should be back during the preseason, and the Bucs have no intention of trading defensive tackle Vita Vea. Rashad Bateman said he's moving around the formation more, so that's good for a guy who's just basically been an outside receiver. Maybe he can have a little more fantasy value this year.
We're hearing a lot of stuff out of Baltimore camp about receivers not named Zay Flowers. And the thing that is standing out to me, it's not like I'm going to start drafting Rashad Bateman or Jacoby Lane or Elijah Surratt. But the fact that if they're moving Rashad Bateman all over the place and they're moving everybody all over the place, and that should be encouraging to people who are expecting a big year from Zay Flowers and from the Ravens offense in general. It sounds like their offense is finally moving into the 21st century.
And that's what we need from Zay Flowers for him to truly have a ceiling. He's just never been a guy that they ever used at the red zone or end zone targets.
That's true.
He's never had more than seven end zone targets in his entire career. So really all we need is a route tree change. And it sounds like Declan Doyle's giving these players like that opportunity, similar to Kellen Moore, how he gave Chris Olave a career high slot rate last year, and it turned into a career high target share in points per game.
And Olave had a lot of end zone targets last year too. Here's a question sort of on the subject of Zay Flowers from Western Goods. Are you guys good with James Cook and Chase Brown with your first two picks and then Devontae Smith or Zay Flowers as your wide receiver one in a 12-team PPR league?
Yes, but it's more like I want Devontae Smith. I prefer not for Zay Flowers to be my wide receiver one, but if that's the last best option, then I suppose it's fine.
I agree. Devonta Smith is another tier, probably the bottom of that tier with Nico Collins Olave, but I still believe he's the tier ahead of Zay Flowers. We've only seen 159 routes the past couple of years with AJ Brown off the field, but on them, Devonta Smith had a 39% target share. That's not to say that Devonta Smith is going to be targeted, have a 39% target share this year. Like even Jackson Smith Ajigbo was not at that last season, but that shows you his range of outcomes despite where he's being drafted. Now without AJ Brown, there's a lot more opportunity to go around. For offense, I know we're all much higher on under Sean Mannion because in ADP, Saquon Barkley, Devonta Smith, Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert, all these guys are still paying for the sins of Kevin Petullo last year, and he's no longer around calling plays.
And their offensive line should be healthier this year. I mean, you can't predict that, but it was pretty banged up or straight up injured last year. Sean Payton said Bo Nix is as mobile as he was before the ankle injury. Jalen Waddle's got a strain. He's going to be out 4 to 5 days. Pat Bryant having a good camp for the Broncos, and already mentioned this on the wide receiver preview part two, Jaden Higgins having a good camp. Before we get into emails and draftathon questions, just a few things real quick. Let's see. I think there's three people left who paid for an FFT open spot, but did not reach out to us. Please email fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. If you are JN Comfort One, Shorty 76, or David Kotz, and I think Eric Ryson, I think you did reach out, but I'll throw you in there anyway just in case. If you're one of those people, thank you for your donation. Now let's get you in the proper league. And, you know, some people have been asking Dave for non-PPR advice, and I'm guilty of just ignoring that format, basically. So, Dave, what would you tell people in a non-PPR league?
I would tell you that what matters most is yardage and touchdowns. Thank you for giving me the chance to offer that second-level advice. Certainly, players that are more explosive are going to also be a lot more valuable. But really, it's you devalue anybody who you know to garner points via the forward pass. This pushes running backs up quite a bit. You're going to see a round one where it's like chock full of running backs. And it's going to create some interesting values for wide receiver later, but some of those wide receivers just don't have the same type of fantasy point appeal, because you're not going to get credit for the catches that they have. And it really dings those receivers that get plenty of targets but aren't efficient with them. And so players like that, and one of the names that comes to mind, I don't know if this is necessarily the best example, but I don't know how efficient Mike Evans is going to be yardage-wise. I do think he's going to get a lot of red zone targets, so it's probably a bad one to suggest that he could be one that goes down in value. What about his old teammate, Chris Godwin? Godwin, I think he's going to get a lot of targets. He can get seven targets per game, but I don't think he's nearly as explosive as he once was. And I can't sit here and say that he's going to get a ton of touchdowns either. So his value is still pretty good for a number three receiver in full PPR. By the time you get to non-PPR, he's probably more of a number four.
Saquon Barkley and DeAndre Swift averaged more points per game than Ja'Marr Chase in non-PPR last year. Averaged more points per game than Amon-Ra St. Brown. The only two wide receivers that were better than those two guys, Barkley and Swift, who were not even top 12 per game, were Puka Nacua and Jackson Smith and Jigba. So don't discount wide receivers too much. They're still very important, but obviously be strong at running back. I like to have, especially if it's a 6 point per passing touchdown league, the quarterbacks are going to make up a much bigger chunk of your, a bigger percentage of your overall score, right? Because like they are obviously penalized in any PPR league or half PPR league. Non-PPR, that quarterback number is super important. So I don't know, John, do you play in any non-PPR leagues? And if you did, would you prioritize quarterback more?
The leagues I play in have expanded to different formats over the years, but non-PPR has kind of dwindled and been replaced by those other types of formats, guillotine, super flex, 2QB with multiple flex included. So the way I've typically handled non-PPR is exactly as both of you have said already. I insulate and hyper-focus on running backs. I know a lot of the time that's the strategy people say for this year. I disagree with that personally. I think being more pragmatic rather than blanket statements saying to go running back early this season, maybe we get into the reasons why as we move along this show. But overall, yes, I actually do want to then push running backs up the board in non-PPR and then take swings for those touchdown guys. Mike Evans was a terrific example. I think Jaden Higgins is another one. So we know his contingency value if Nico Collins gets injured. I think everything everyone has said here is dead on.
And if you're watching and you're in a non-PPR league and you're mad at us for kind of talking trash about your format, you could always think about changing it. The reason why people, and this is 10 plus years ago, why people got away from standard scoring non-PPR leagues is because you score more points if catches count, and more points is more fun. And what has evolved in fantasy are all the different variations that John talked about, the guillotine leagues, and then obviously long-term formats, dynasty leagues and super flex leagues. And I could go on for 4 minutes about all the different types of leagues that are out there. The point is to make your fantasy league fun, not boring. And non-PPR leagues to some people are boring.
Yeah. That's why I have become a multi-flex short bench snob, because that has made me the most stressed in season, because short benches, everyone's kind of doing their own thing, and it's subjective on your roster whether you have to cut stashes or have the room for them. And so I like that stress because it actually forces you to make decisions in the middle of the year. The only thing I'll say is that the beauty of non-PPR is that most of the time it's because they are brought over from when dinosaurs were roaming the earth. And that, like, RotoPat, like all our friends at RotoWorld, Ray Flowers, the old school guys, they're still in non-PPR because those leagues have been going on for 36 years unchanged. Right. So there is like a nostalgic romance that has to do with non-PPR. But if you're just starting a league, I assure you, you don't want to go that route.
Agreed. Okay, we're going to take a break, come back with some of your questions. We'll have our St. Jude interview shortly. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. Hey, before we jump back into the show, let's take a quick break. But not just any break. This is a refreshing break with Snapple. We all know about Snapple's iconic real facts. So let's take a minute to go over some of my faves. Snapple Real Fact 1983. The first player drafted to play pro football never played in the league. Snapple Real Fact 1119. The Grand Canyon could hold about 900 trillion footballs. Snapple Real Fact 2064, the first college football game broadcast on TV was on September 30th, 1939. Snapple Real Fact 1896, the tradition of playing football on Thanksgiving originated with college football in 1876. So grab a Snapple, take a second, and enjoy the moment, because let's be honest, this might be the most refreshing part of your day. Snapple, make your break more interesting. All right, now let's get back to the show.
This summer, my wife and I took my parents, our son, and our granddaughter on a trip to Montana. Coming from South Florida, it was such a change of pace. We spent our days exploring Glacier National Park, taking in the incredible mountain views, spotting wildlife, and doing some easy hikes to waterfalls and scenic overlooks. It was amazing being surrounded by mountains and cooler weather, something we just don't get at home. We also checked out some local restaurants, tried a few Montana favorites like Huckleberry desserts, and really enjoyed slowing down and spending quality time together. But while we were off exploring somewhere new, our home was just sitting empty. That's when I realized, while we're away, we could list our space on Airbnb. It feels like a smart and practical way to bring in some extra cash, especially when there is a high demand in our area for things like concerts, games, or festivals. It turns an empty house into an easy opportunity while you enjoy your own time off, and can even help offset some of the cost of your next trip. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In business, there's no room for guesswork. Every shipment matters, every deadline counts. When you're trying to keep operations running smoothly, the last thing you need is uncertainty. That's why reliability is at the core of USPS Ground Advantage. From the moment your package is first scanned in, it moves through a secure nationwide network, aiding in a timely and accurate delivery. You get near real-time tracking so you can keep up with your shipments. And with affordable upfront pricing, there are no hidden fees or surprise surcharges to throw off your cost sheets. It all adds up to predictable deliveries you can depend on. Because knowing your logistics are handled lets you focus on everything else, your customers, your team, and the future you're building. Visit usps.com/groundadvantage to start shipping with confidence. USPS Ground Advantage. We mean business.
All right. First one is from Matthew. He says, "What's up, Aegon, Amund, and Darren?" Anybody? No? House of the Dragon?
Okay.
Or Dragons, whatever.
I'm usually one for pop culture. I'm not caught up, though.
Yeah, I haven't started the new season. It's a pretty good show. I hear this season's great. Which quarterback, Tua or Penix, excites you the most for Drake London? Do his rankings change?
Penix.
It's Penix, yes. It is next. Penix big time, but is it that big of a difference, Dave?
I think it is. I kind of feel like Tua has been shell-shocked quite a bit over the course of his career, and he needs the situation to be really perfect for him to stay in the pocket and throw further than 10 yards downfield. Whereas Penix, I think he relishes that. And not that Drake London gets a ton of 15-plus air yard throws, but I think we've seen enough from him with Penix to know that he can be a pretty damn good fantasy contributor.
Tua offers the easier targets, and to add context to everything, since 2024, so the last couple of years, he's been bottom six in air yards per target, whereas we all know Penix's depth of target. Nice. He always rivals the top of the league and goes downfield. So he does provide a better ceiling, but easy points, you know, are important also to mix in those kind of targets in fantasy football. So it's really like, what are we really debating, Tua or Penix? Like, I don't know, neither. But yeah, Penix unlocks the ceiling at least.
Well, Frank in the chat saying that this answer of Penix being the, you know, the guy we prefer for London shocks me. Have you seen Tua run? We've seen Tua run a top offense before. Penix hasn't. But we've seen in Drake London's last two seasons that he's been great with Penix.
Yeah.
And again, you know, before his knee injury last year, it was all with Penix. It was number three wide receiver per game. And the last three games of the 2024 season, great with Penix. So at least we know Penix will throw the ball to London over and over and over again. It's a little bit of an unknown with Tua.
Well, I would be shocked if Tua did not do that.
Same.
But it's about, I think it's really just everything that we've said. And then on top of that, yes, we've seen Tua put up huge numbers. Look at who he's thrown to.
Yeah, and, that's true.
You know, I love Drake London, but the reason why I love him for fantasy more than anything else is because of the target volume that he's gotten. And the reason why he gets it is because he's talented, but he's not a burner in the same way that Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Devon Achan were when they were with Tua in Miami.
So I have to ask, since this is a mailbag and we've talked way too much football here, if you don't watch House of the Dragon, John, what are you watching these days?
Not much nowadays, honestly. I put on sports in the background, especially when we have golf and baseball, and right to that. TV show-wise, what's been a recent one that's even been good? I need to catch up on Ted Lasso, which just released 48 hours ago. Yeah. I finished up The Bear. I kind of, just like music, I'm very stubborn and perhaps ignorant is the word to use, and that I really don't go out of my way to find something different. And so I just end up listening and watching the same things over again. So I'll just always like rewatch the Mission Impossibles or go back to The Wire, Breaking Bad, Sopranos. I just rewatch the classics every year.
Interesting. Okay, so you can go to a concert with any three bands in rock history, living or dead. What are the three bands, and give me like the billing, you know, who's the opening act?
I'm a hip hop guy, so I'm not the person to talk to at all. Okay. Well, like, I know the accent gives country, but no.
No. I want to hear this. I want to know who you'd want to see.
I am a UGK guy, so because I grew up with the Houston rap scene. So, and then also Clips is one of my favorite groups. Now they came back with a new album, but Pusha T and Malice. You should go. Anyone who actually likes rap, well, they already know who Clips is. But go back and listen to Hell Hath No Fury, one of my favorite hip hop albums of all time. And then who else haven't I seen that I would like to see? Oh, I'm thinking of a rock group as well. Okay. You know what? I'll change it up. I'll mix it up entirely. Maybe also, after I said everything, it only then makes sense to add Bob Dylan in his prime, because I don't want to see Bob Dylan now.
Oh.
I've seen videos. I've heard the voice. Not the same thing at all. But Bob Dylan in his prime seems like it would be incredible to view.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad you said one artist that I know. So thank you for
You brought me on the show.
Oh, how about that? Someone said, how many of those is, I don't know, over under half. Yeah, just Bob Dylan. Just Bob Dylan. All right.
As I've gotten older, Adam, I'm also no longer like big show guy. So I've admitted self-defeat and I'll never see some of the artists I like anymore. I now go to a lot of shows, but it's a lot of smaller venues around Chicago, like Empty Bottle, Vic Theater. The list goes on of just like local bands. That's kind of my scene now.
Oh.
I've gone way too hipster.
No, but that's the cool thing to do, for sure. And especially to like see these artists before they become big.
Yes.
And that way you can say, and yes, this is hipster. Yeah, I saw Clips way back in the day before they really, really blew up. And
did you really?
No, this is you're going to say.
Oh, I thought it's a cue. I was like, I didn't paint you like that. But again, probably no one also put that on me. So it's okay.
There you go. All right,
I do like the salt shed too. Shout out the chat.
Next question here is from Something Football. Does Dejan Stribling have the widest range of outcomes of any player right now? So you can answer that. I'm going to say no. And if you're going to say no, who does have the widest range of outcomes of any player right now? Dave Richard?
On the spot, asking me who's got the widest range of outcomes. Okay. First name that came to my mind is Ted Arroyo McNally.
Yes, me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just somebody who... Oh, and I got another one after that. But Ted Arroyo could be a top five fantasy receiver, hyper-targeted, becomes an end zone monster. Carolina's offense is way better than we gave Dave Canales and Brad Idzik for. And McMillan is just a superstar. The floor is Jalen Coker's better than him. Jalen Coker out-targets Ted Arroyo McMillan. Maybe they run a lot more. Jonathan Brooks is a thing. And Ted Arroyo McMillan becomes second fiddle in that offense. Here's another name. And this goes right into the guy who you have a trademark slogan for, Adam, Travion Henderson. Could be a top five receiver or running back, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But we know we saw the skill set, not just at Ohio State, but when he had those three games last year, when he was the main guy getting all the work in New England, we saw what he's capable of doing on plays where it looks like he's bottled up at first, and then he goes to the other edge and he improvises his way to a 60-plus yard touchdown. Or he could get 8 carries a game and Ramondre Stevenson gets 15 carries a game, and both of them are just not great for fantasy.
I'm going to go with Jackson Dart. I think we saw how great he can be. I don't think we've seen how bad he can be. Training camp is not going off to a great start for them. I could see him being dropped by like the 6th week of the season, or I could see him being a league winner.
In terms of consequential ADP, the first names that come to mind are George Pickens, just because we've also seen George Pickens' history. Not to mention everyone's painting the Cowboys with the same brush of last year as trailing, lots of throwing. Like they know what their offense is. They operate through elite passing game, but their defense is going to be much more sound. And so I do question the pace and the game scripts that everyone is projecting them for. I don't think it's going to be the same offense necessarily, given that they did become one of the best run defense in the league whenever they acquired Quinnen Williams and he played. Not to mention Caleb Downs was rumored as one of the best defensive players, if not the best, in the entire draft. They added some important pieces there. So I think they're an entirely different team, honestly, and I don't know what that does to the offense. Rashee Rice is another one. The fact that we were studying the video of him running away out of jail, questioning whether he should be drafted in the second round, that kind of tells you everything about who the player is. Only Khalil Shakir had a lower depth of target last year, so can he still be a ceiling wide receiver when all he's doing is getting the ball near the line of scrimmage? I don't know. That's why I don't draft much of him. And then because of the Colts offense, what we saw in regression last year, at ADP, I still don't know who Tyler Warren is, and I think he's a very good player. I don't think I'm paying for it, though, around Emeka Egbuka, that tier of receivers, elite quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts are still there. I don't think I'm getting Tyler Warren, getting his range of outcomes around players I think can rival to lead their positions in scoring.
Mm-hmm. Adam, we forgot about one player.
Okay,
there's a guy in the universe who every year has either averaged 20-plus PPR points per game or has blown a giant hole in your fantasy lineup and cost you, or is,
can I guess?
Bare minimum, has made it an uphill battle for you to even make the playoffs. Yes, you can guess.
Christian McCaffrey.
Exactly. There is nobody who has a it's not necessarily a range of outcomes. It's two outcomes. He's either going to be your hero, or he's going to be the reason why you don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Coming off the 10th most touches of the 21st century. What can go wrong?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we have done all of the digging on this and 450-plus touches, age 30, his own history. And yet, I don't know where you rank him, John, and yet I still can't get him out of my top 10 overall.
Oh, yeah, it's not about ranking him. The middle of the board. So last year, first round ADP was correct and tight. And so that naturally led me to not draft Saquon Barkley. I shouldn't say not. I was drafting Christian McCaffrey. I built my entire personality around. Like this offseason, my entire personality is built around gardening. I've just become that guy now. Nice. Last year, it was all about Christian McCaffrey. So Bijan Robinson, Christian McCaffrey, I drafted literally 100% of the time over Saquon Barkley, nitpicking the 482 touches that then led him to drop 7.7 points per game and be the RB14 last year in weekly points. Having said that, that ADP this season is more wide open. I think it's a tier of five players you unquestionably draft in Gibbs, Bijan, Chase, Puka, and JSN, whatever order you want. Don't care, even though I think Gibbs is the very clear 101. After that, though, much more wide open, including the middle of the board, where there is a chance the next tier of running backs, like Chase Brown or Amarian Hampton, come back, and you can still start with a hero RB build if you skip on Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor. Thus, that has led me to take more Justin Jefferson and Monroe St. Brown at 106 and 107, understanding the volatility that comes with Christian McCaffrey. So it just depends on how you draft, so it's not really about me pushing McCaffrey outside of the top 10. It's just based on my analysis and how I draft.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, that's great analysis there. All right, let's get one more email and then we'll get into our draft-a-thon questions before our interview starts. And this one's from Charles. And he's saying that looking back over the last 10 to 15 years and NFL running backs who went in the top 10 of the NFL draft, McCaffrey, Zeke, Saquon Barkley, Bijan, Genty, Fournette. I think, wasn't McCaffrey top 10 too?
He was.
Yeah, so he left him out.
I think he was eighth overall. He didn't leave him out. It's literally the first name on the
list. Oh, my God. And I read it. My bad.
It's early.
Some were mega hits. I believe Genty was the worst of them all in PPR at RB15 per game. I think you're right about that, Charles. Jeremiah Love is RB14. Is he being drafted at his floor? Feel like the worst case scenario is 2025 Genty. Pretty good call.
It's an interesting call. John, you got a feeling on this one?
Not necessarily feeling, but I do think his ADP is completely fair. And I have him in like the same tier as Breece Hall because they're at least the archetypes of players that we don't mind swinging for the fences with whenever they fall. Guys with high target shares who are explosive players who do everything. So if you're telling me now, like, whereas Bijan and Gibbs were first round rookies going at like, and Ashton Genty going at the first, second round turn, and Jeremiah Love is not even close to that. He's going around and a half later. Just the kind of player I bet on. Ryan Heath at Fantasy Points has been doing amazing work with what matters for fantasy or not all offseason. And one of the things he mentioned was that the first round running backs to have 110 plus speed score at their sizes were Jahmyr Gibbs, Saquon Barkley, Travis Etienne, Leonard Fournette, and Ezekiel Elliott. And that's a bucket that Jeremiah Love also fits into. Wow. So I just like to zoom out and say, I can take that bucket of players, bet on historical outcomes in the third, you know, mid third, fourth round. I'm just going to do that and cross my fingers.
Yeah. What a great point that is. And then also, I just think the email from Charles, he is going as RB 14 or roughly there. Is he going to be basically the worst rookie running back that was drafted in the top 10 in the last decade or more? Or is he going to be, is he going to be Ashton Jeanthi? Ashton Jeanthi currently is the worst there, but Jeanthi was still probably worth a third round pick. I mean, you could have done a little better. You certainly could have done a lot worse. So it's good context.
Jeanthi gets such a bad rep too for that offensive line. The play calling was horrible. Yeah. The offensive line was literally the worst in the league by every metric you look at. That's why we talked about structures of drafting. The end is so much better than the end last year because you can double tap confidently running back this year. That includes like James Cook perhaps falling, but if he doesn't, there is still Ashton Jeanthi and Saquon Barkley who are probably going to be there 100% of the time because everyone still has the disgust left on their rosters from last year. Mm-hmm. But those are two terrific bets to make this season.
Yeah, we like Chase Brown, I think, better than both those guys, right, Dave?
Chase Brown's the same tier. That's totally fine.
Yeah. Well, we like John Daigle quite a bit, too. It was great having you on. John, thank you very much. Tell everybody how we can find you, hear you, all these wonderful things.
Long-time listener, first-time caller, so I appreciate the invite to come on. And you can find me at NotJDaigle on Twitter, which remains my worst career decision of the last 11 years since I got Twitter. NotJDaigle, even though my name is John Daigle. And then, of course, at Establish the Run, where the Establish the Run podcast and YouTube channel are free. Just make sure to watch the FF Today videos at different times separately from the ETR videos.
You want to stream both at the same time? We don't care. They're clicks. They still count.
Record it. Yeah. Record it if you stream both at the same time, because I'm just interested in seeing that.
Well, we have, if you can believe it, an even more special guest coming up in just a moment. Thanks to John Daigle. We're going to take a break here, come back and talk with one of our St. Jude patients after this. You know, as I've gotten older and gotten married and had kids, I've started to realize what's really important in life. And I think we all know what that is. And I want to add that life insurance is also very important. I remember the conversations I had with my wife where we said, we need life insurance. We need to protect our future. So we got life insurance and we just feel more secure now. It's one less thing to worry about. Now, let me tell you about Ethos. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage, and some policies are as low as $30 a month. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/FFT. That's ethos.com/FFT. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and legendary 4Runner. All with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less, with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number 1 and number 2 in resale value over all vehicles according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average right back in your pocket when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart. Drive for less and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places. I want to thank everybody who has donated so far. We have raised $86,476 for St. Jude. Our goal was $200,000. We've got about 3 weeks left to make it happen. Join the FFT Open or just donate. You can pay $50 to have your mailbag question read on the show. And we do have a bunch of those, which we will get to shortly. But right now, we got to bring in Nick London. Nick, welcome to Fantasy Football Today. How are you, man?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
It's always, I just love talking to the former St. Jude patients. You can tell us about the organization and what it meant for you and your family, but tell us about yourself before that.
A little about me, Nick London. Getting ready to graduate from the University of Memphis this December. Grew up playing ball. My dad played ball here in the city, Paris, London, in the city of Memphis. Come from a family of seven. So, yeah, big family. Yeah.
Congratulations on your upcoming graduation. That's awesome.
Appreciate it.
Tell us about how you got in, how St. Jude came into your life and helped you out.
Well, my story begins back in 2014. I was playing basketball, doing my thing. Got invited to CP3 camp, all that good stuff. Everything was looking up. But as I started getting to my ninth grade year, started getting knots in my stomach, dark circles around my eyes. Just not feeling like myself, lack of energy, lack of motivation to really do anything. And my mom was like, okay, enough is enough. Let's go ahead and take him to the doctor and see what's wrong. And this was around my third week of school, of high school, ninth grade. We get to the doctor's office. My mom thinks I'm anemic. They take my blood. And from there, our doctor immediately sent us over to St. Jude. So that's kind of how I was introduced to St. Jude. I used to see the commercials and stuff like that all the time. But I never really had a real relationship or a real understanding of what St. Jude did. But that was my awakening.
And one of the things I guess I didn't realize before we started doing this draft-a-thon, I think we're in our ninth year now, is that St. Jude doesn't just help the patient. It's for the entire family, right? So can you talk about how, you know, what the services they provide for the families and why it's so important to give to St. Jude for people like you and also your families who are going through such a difficult time?
Oh, well, the first thing is they don't charge us at all. And we know how, if you've dealt with anybody that's been sick or been in the hospital, we know how those bills can rack up. And it's something that deters people sometimes from seeking help because the financial loss. So that's the first thing. The second thing is not only do they help people from the city, like I was fortunate enough to be from Memphis, they bring people in, they fly you in, they let you stay at the Ronald McDonald House all for free. And then when you get to St. Jude, the one in Memphis, the one I'm familiar with, there's plenty of amenities, not just for the patients, but the kids as well. They have play areas. They have the cafe, which is open to all. They have Starbucks and everything else is inside. Like, they truly try to make you take your mind off the fact that you're dealing with something life-threatening. They try their best to make themselves, you know, an extension of your family. So, yeah.
Dave, I've hogged all the questions. Incredible. Go ahead, sir.
Well, did you say your father's name is Paris London?
It is.
Mm-hmm. And he played football. Was he a lineman?
He played basketball.
Yes. Played basketball. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was a long time ago when I was starting out that there was a lineman who I remember evaluating in Paris London. So I heard that name and I went, oh, I wonder if that's, and I think he went to Memphis too. So I wondered if that was your dad, but your dad played basketball. Okay, fine. How long have you been playing fantasy football, Nick?
I haven't been playing fantasy football very long. Me and my friends have done it, 2 years now?
Okay.
Not long.
How'd you do? And
how'd you do? Right. That's obviously the next question.
Oh, I lost. Yeah, I lost. I'm not, like, I try my best to, you know, get my start line, pick my reads, and, you know, people get hurt and substitutions. It's just like, you know, there's so many uncontrollables with it where it's like, you know, I try not to get to it. Because, you know, I don't know if I can say this on here, but, like, you know, we like to have, like, a little pot, you know.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Yeah. So,
sure.
You know, it always sucks when you don't get it.
It sure does. But you know what? There's so much that's not.
Adam plays in a league where his family puts M&Ms in. The buy-in is like 5 M&Ms, and the winner gets stale M&Ms 6 months later.
Yeah, maybe that's what we need to do.
Help. Yeah, I'd prefer the type of league that you've got going in. You know, that sounds a lot more interesting to me.
The best thing is you've been only playing for 2 years. I hope and I think you're going to be playing for the next 30 years. You're going to keep it going.
Okay. For sure.
Yeah.
The best way
can't give up on fantasy after 2 years if you haven't won yet. It's really, you rarely hear stories about people who play fantasy for the first time and then win the league in the first year. Like even me, way back in the day, took me a few years to finally figure things out. And after 20 years of playing, I finally won a league. No, it wasn't.
Okay, so what's the tips? What's the advice? I need to win.
Well, the first thing that I tell people is you have to pay attention all year. You can't just draft a team and then not show up again until Sunday and then don't show up again until the Sunday after. You have to make a little bit of a commitment to going over your lineup a couple times a week, picking players off the waiver wire. I think it's just as important as drafting well is finding the right guys off the waiver wire. And you don't want to be the fantasy manager who accidentally starts a guy who's on bye or is hurt, or you've got somebody on your bench that's going to get you 2 points and you know they're only going to get you 2 points when you go to check your lineup at 12:30 and you go, Malik Nabers got hurt last week. My best wide receiver is Christian Kirk, and that's the only guy I really have on my bench, so I might as well just start him without even thinking about going to the waiver wire or trying to make a trade or doing anything else. It's just like anything else in life, Nick. The effort that you put into something, the more you're going to get out of it. And fantasy football is no different. So as long as you make the effort, and I'm not talking about 3 hours a day, although there are some people who I know who put in that much effort. But 20 minutes every other day will probably get the job done, and you'll be a better fantasy manager for it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to apply that to that and other aspects of my life. Reap what you sow. I got it.
There you go. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, thank you for coming on. You know, you're an inspiration for a lot of people, and I hope you can inspire anyone in the audience who sit there and you haven't given yet. We'd love for you to contribute to this. Again, tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. Or just Google Fantasy Football Today Draftathon or FFT Draftathon or something like that, and you'll get the Tiltify page. You can donate right there. Nick, good luck to you this season. Congratulations again on graduating, and we hope to hear from you soon.
All right, thank you. See you guys.
All right.
Later, Nick.
Now, Dave, for the people, by the way, Dave, with the even I took me even a few years to win a fantasy league. The great Dave Richard.
It was like the late 90s.
Yeah.
But I used to be that guy. I used to be the guy that was like, oh, I'll just draft a team and then I'll look at my lineup on Sunday.
Sure.
Or even worse, not look at my lineup on Sunday. I was a college kid. So just imagine. Yeah, there's college kids now who I know very well who forget to set their lineup and are panicking, and it's 12:50 and they're texting their dads saying, hey, who do I start? Who do I start? And I say, I'm on a live stream, kid. Get off my phone. And then they lose for the week and blame it on me. But I'm used to that. I'm used to people blaming their fantasy losses on me or you.
Who was the best player on your first championship team? Do you remember?
Clinton Portis.
Oh my God, me too.
He won a lot of people, a lot of fantasy leagues.
But you were out of college at that point. You're saying you started in college.
It took me a little while to win a fantasy league.
Oh, started in college.
Lying.
Okay.
Yeah. I started in college.
Yeah.
And then the story was after I sucked in 2000. So we're talking 4 years of sucking in fantasy football. And I told myself, all right, I'm going to spend the entire offseason tracking every single move in the NFL. And I'm working at Sportsline at this point. So in the building at CBS Sports every day. So I had no excuses. I was obviously seeing news come in every single day during the offseason. I said, I'm going to follow the news all offseason long. And if I can't win a fantasy league the year after that, I'm done. And I won a league. I was in two leagues. I won one league, and I won the other league the year after that. And now I've been rolling and made a whole career out of it. And It's been fun.
I don't think you would have been done because it was so fun. You wouldn't have been.
No, I would have been done. No, I would have been. I was so frustrated. The frustration that I had was right up there with how I felt about golfing. Mm. And you know how I hate golf. I can't golf. So I had to give it up. I got so angry over it. And I used to get so angry about fantasy. And then I figured out what I needed to do. And it's the same advice I tell everybody in December and in January when people stop listening to our show. It's stay with the show, stay dialed into the league. You'll be a better fantasy manager for it.
So was it Portis's rookie season?
Yeah.
Okay. You and I won our first fantasy leagues in the same year behind Clinton Portis.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's awesome. He was great. Got him in a keeper league and won the year after that too.
Let's read some questions here from you very generous people who pay to have your question answered. Joe Capalbo.
Joe.
Long time listener. 10 team PPR league, one QB, three receivers and two flexes.
Woo!
All right, we need a keeper. Rashee Rice in the 7th, Malik Nabers in the 10th, or Colson Loveland in the 10th.
Oh my gosh. And you can only keep one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's either Nabers or Loveland for me. You can make the case for both. I think if you're uncomfortable with where Nabers is in his recovery at this point, you can keep Loveland and then you've got him locked in. I mean, I'm assuming you can keep these guys long-term. You can have Loveland as your stud tight end in a 10-team league for a long time. I think if I know that Nabers is back to his old self, this is an easy one for me. It's Nabers. If I don't know it, it's Loveland.
All right. If the consensus top five overall players are already gone at pick 4, what is your preferred?
That's tough to do. It's
keeper league.
Oh, I see.
He has the 4th pick. What is your preferred roster building strategy through the first 4 to 5 rounds?
Well, if it's a 10-team league and 10 players are being kept, I don't think there's going to be too much of a difference about who will be available. Maybe not in like round 1, but certainly once you get to like round 3 or round 4, it'll be about the same. I really liked the conversation we had on Friday about that round 4 group of wide receivers and trying to build out a strategy that you'll write in pencil, because you should always adjust to how your draft is unfolding. As Heath likes to say, seriously, no intentional positional strategy when you go into a draft, otherwise known as snips.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we go with 2 running backs with the first 3 picks, I think that's going to be my favorite way to go about it. 1 wide receiver mixed in, and then hope for a tight end value to fall somewhere between rounds 4 through 6. If there's no tight end there in round 4, the receiver seems like a really good spot to go to.
Andy G says, hey, Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike.
Dolphins running backs? Ronnie is, Ricky is. I'd have to think on the Bobby and the – probably not Bobby and Mike. There would be like a Larry in there.
This also could be Bell backs. Biv DeVoe, according to Google.
Okay. okay.
Oh, it's members of the OG New Edition. He says it right there in the question. Why didn't I see that?
I don't know. You could have answered it that way, and then you could have been like, yeah, I've known New Edition for years.
Entering my 11th fantasy football season, been listening for several years. Oh, this is just a thank you. This is just a donation. So thank you for your donation.
I think New Edition is one of those musical acts where we can't name a bunch of songs they sang, but if we heard them and then we're told, oh, it's New Edition, we'd be like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's Bobby Brown, right? New Edition?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bobby Brown, who sings the song from Ghostbusters 2, which is the better Ghostbusters? Yeah. Okay.
He was in New Edition, yes.
2 questions from Fish in Los Angeles. Okay, one's a keeper question. Half PPR, 2 running backs, 2 receivers. I can keep 2 players this year and next year with the round they're in the round they're drafted, and it goes up 1 round a year.
Got it.
Chris Olave in the 7th, Javonte Williams pretty in the good. 9th.
Pretty good.
Mbuka in the 5th, Pitts in the 10th, or the winner, Luther Burden in the 13th.
Ooh, mama. So there's 3. It's Olave, it's Javonte, and it's Burden. I think I would lean toward the receivers there, Olave and Burden.
And then his name is Fish, and he says, this is my 3rd year participating in the FFT Open. Last year, I signed up for Scott Fish's league. We both share the last name. I go by Fish to everyone, friends, coworkers, and I put my team name as The Other Fish. Unfortunately, come draft day, our draft was paused for a bit as Scott thought he was auto-drafting when he saw a name with Fish in it taking CeeDee Lamb.
Cracking up because that is exactly something Scott Fish would do.
That's good.
That is 100% Scott Fish.
For this season, I thought I'd have a less confusing name, so please help me make my team name. Quick facts about me. I am a former Olympic trained swimmer. I'm an avid Lego builder. I am a video game voiceover director and actor.
This guy sounds amazing.
Yeah, and he's a cancer survivor.
And wow.
He relied on Jahmyr Gibbs, Michael Wilson, and the Texans DST to win 2 leagues last year. So we need a name for this swimmer, Lego builder, video game voiceover director and actor, cancer survivor.
The other Scott Fish.
Let's see. I mean, the Legos. How about Lego Fish? Lego Scott Fish. You know, they have like Lego Batman and all that.
I think he should call his team Scott Fish and really confuse the hell out of the real Scott Fish.
This is really tough. I think Lego Scott Fish is my final answer. I'm sorry, it's not that good.
Of all the things that stood out to you about what this man has accomplished, it's the Lego building that has stood out, that's wowed you?
Well, I'm...
He's killed cancer, he works on video games, and he's an Olympic-trained swimmer.
Ooh,
But the dude can build Legos, man! Wow!
The Renaissance fish from Frank. I like that one. That's pretty good. The real fish. Real big fish.
Real big fish is not bad.
Yeah, real big fish.
I would just continue to mess with Scott Fish as much as possible.
Scott Fish 2.0 we're getting here. All right, you have some choices. This is a keeper question from Carrie, maybe? I'm going to keep Ken Walker in the fourth round and Quinshon.
How about Lou Arcari?
Yeah. Yeah, Lou Arcari. I'm going to keep Ken
Walker.
Kenneth Walker in the fourth round and Judkins in the eighth. And I have the first overall pick. So should I start with the star running back and then two receivers in the, and then two wide receivers in the next round or vice versa? I don't know what the question is here. You have to start three receivers, but he's keeping two running backs and he has the first overall pick.
Are we sure that who, I mean, we don't know who's going to be left with that first overall pick. So if it's one of the stud running backs, I don't see how you can pass them, especially if it's not one of the top four wide receivers. Like, isn't it possible that Chase, JSN, this isn't in order. I'll do it in order. Chase, Puka, JSN, Amon-Ra are kept. And if they're kept, I'm not going to take CeeDee Lamb over one of the elite tier running backs.
I'm not going to take anyone over I like Chase better than Bijan, but I'm not taking anyone over Gibbs. I don't care how many running backs I'm keeping.
Right, but Gibbs could be kept too.
Yeah, he could be. And then look at this sentence. Second pick on turn, my second pick at the turn 3X. Oh, no, at the third. Second pick on turn, my second pick at the turn 3X.
Well, all your base are belong to us.
And then we have one from Whispers House. 10-team PPR league, three receivers.
I'm glad you can read.
Not really. Three receivers, two running backs, two flexes. Keep Javonte Williams in the 12th or Kyle Pitts in the 17th.
Okay, you know how I feel about Pitts. 17th round on Kyle Pitts. It's really good. 12th round on Javonte is really good too. I think I'm trying to come around on Kyle Pitts a little bit. I can't even do it here. I'm going to take Javonte.
Honestly, at that point in the draft, the value doesn't really matter that much. I mean, it's such
right. Do you take first between those two? It's going to be Javonte Williams every single time and twice on Sundays and the 3X times on holidays.
Dave, I have a message for the Rat. Okay. The Rat is a beloved commissioner of a long-standing league. And he quit the league. He doesn't want to be in it anymore. He doesn't want to be the commissioner. And his friends have tried really hard to get him to come back. They're badgering him on the group text, and it's not working. So he listens to the show, and they wanted us to try to convince him. So the Rat, don't quit on your league. Your friends want you back in the league. I think you should do it. You are lucky to have friends that value you as a league member as much as they do. Get back to work. You bum, get back in the league and be the commissioner, Rat.
Well, you forgot the other part of that, which is everybody in the league is going to pay you $50 each if you come back.
Is that right? No,
You're right. It's $100.
No, it's not.
Rat, please come back. There's money on top of it. You can cut your friend Dave a little bit of it.
Dave, you were right, sort of. Everyone in the league, because we read this on the air and we got the Rat back in the league, everyone in the league is going to make a $50 donation to St. Jude at tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. On your behalf. So congratulations. You just raised $550 for St. Jude.
Right. And $100 from each person in the league on top of it. That goes right to Rat's pocket. He can spend it on anything he wants. That's how much his friends love him. Man, I wish I had friends like that that would do that. Adam, you've never given me $100 in your life.
And I never will. It's time for the Fantasy Cops. Dear Axel, Popeye, Harry, and John. What is this? I have no idea.
Axel, Popeye.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, I'm going to have to Google it.
I just did. Didn't work. I got a tricky issue that my 10-plus year running keeper league is in a bit of a spot. A day or two before the championship game, the Josh Allen manager drops...
Oh.
What? Is it like, is it 80s action heroes?
You got it. It's actually film detectives.
Who's
can you name each one?
I can name Axel and John.
Okay.
Harry. No, who's Harry? Oh, like Dirty Harry?
Dirty Harry. Great job. Harry Callahan.
Who's Popeye?
Yeah, I wouldn't get that one. Popeye Doyle from The French Connection.
Oh, no. No idea.
And we know, of course, Axel Foley from Beverly Hills Cop.
Aquil?
And John McClane.
Of course.
From Die Hard. A Christmas movie.
Yes.
Continue with the reading, please.
Okay, a day or two before... You know what? A day or two before the championship game, the Josh Allen manager drops him for a weekly ad because he was ineligible to be kept per our rules. And since the standard waiver clearing period would run after the championship, the manager assumed there wouldn't be any chance to add Josh Allen because the season would be over and we don't have off-season ad drops. But our site ran the waiver claim, and per our default rules, now Josh Allen can be kept by the new manager for a 7th-round pick. The dropping manager isn't mad about it and willing to let it slide, and we've had way crazier legit keeper values than Allen for a 7th. But more than a handful of managers want it reversed. What say you, fantasy adjudicators?
The new manager gets Josh Allen for the 7th round
keeper
value.
No way.
Yep. No sorry, way. Bud. You're the one that cut him. You know what the ramifications are when you cut somebody in fantasy.
That's the whole
point.
And
if he really wanted to, wait, he could have cut Josh Allen at the very last possible second, like Sunday morning, picked up who he wanted, and then no one would have gotten their hands on Josh Allen.
No.
The manager who saw Josh Allen get dropped made the effort to add him with the idea being that he could keep him next year. That's taking advantage of the situation, and that's not breaking the rules.
I think
no rules were broken.
No.
Nothing happened. There was no it doesn't sound like there's any type of, you know, compromising problem here. Certainly, I think it's fine. You got to let it stand. You don't like it, of course.
But you misinterpreted. I think you misinterpreted what happened. I think he dropped him. Wrong? He dropped him 2 days before the championship.
Yeah.
And the rules say there are no off-season ad drops. The waiver claim was processed after the championship. Hold on. The waiver claim was processed after the championship. In my opinion, it never should have gone through. It did. It was a mistake. It shouldn't have happened. And you may not care that much about this one because whatever, Josh Allen in the 7th round, but there could be a much more egregious one in a different year. So I think it should be reversed. This waiver claim never should have gone through. And I say absolutely not. Have I convinced you?
No, not at all. There's no collusion here. There's no funny business here. The guy dropped a player before the end of the season deadline, the platform processed the waiver claim as it would anybody else. If he had dropped a second kicker, the platform would have processed it the exact same way. You've got a problem with how fast the platform went about putting through the waiver claim. And the end result was a smart manager who picked up Josh Allen, didn't break any rules, and neither did the guy that dropped Josh Allen. There's nothing nefarious about it. The manager that picked up Josh Allen gets to keep him for a 7th.
Okay,
I have spoken.
I may have been wrong. I don't know if the waiver claim processed after the championship, but I know it was supposed to have processed after the championship. I think that's what happened.
But it didn't. It did not.
That's the platform messing up. The platform messed up. He dropped Josh Allen in a way where Josh Allen never should have been available. Never should have been available. And this manager benefits from it. Poppycock. There's no way he gets Josh Allen. What do you mean you're with Dave? Huskies. You should not be with Dave on this.
Thank you, Husky.
Should be like bad guy Raya Raya. You should be with Adam. Good for you. All right, well, that was not helpful. Thank you very much for watching and listening to Fantasy Football Today. Have a wonderful weekend. We will talk to you Monday. Jamie will be back. We've got sleepers, breakouts, and busts next week. We'll talk to you then. See ya.
Podcasts.
Let's talk about Vuori clothing. I love these clothes. I love the versatility. That's what really stands out. When I went to the website, the first thing I saw was the tennis shop. So of course I got some tennis shirts from Vuori, and they're great to play in, but also I could just wear them around the house or out to lunch. Again, versatility. That's what you're going to get from Vuori clothes, whether it's shorts, shirts, hoodies, men's clothing, women's clothing, whatever. How about the Vuori Core Shorts? People love these. Ideal for fitness, running, and training, but also stylish and comfortable enough to wear all day. Make sure you check out the Core Shorts. Vuori is an investment in your happiness. Some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. For our listeners, they're offering 20% off your first purchase at Vuori.com/fantasyfootball. That's Vuori.com/fantasyfootball. Exclusions apply. Visit the website for full terms and conditions.